Hello, welcome to the Adulting Hour. This is where we talk about things that you wish you would have known coming up into adulthood. Today we got Andrea. Hello, Andrea.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Andrea, so the reason why you're on the show today is because you wanted to talk about something that was near and dear to you. What is that?
So I thought long and hard about what I wanted to talk about, and the thing that I wish I knew coming into adulthood was that depression is really a thing that a lot of people struggle with, and it's not really talked about. And it's okay to not be okay, and then to look at what is causing that. And if it's a toxic relationship, it's okay to end that toxic relationship, even if it's a relative.
You know, this is a fantastic topic, especially when it comes time to talking about mental health, and depression. And a lot of people think that it may just be you and may the internally inside of you that's wrong. But you are speaking and saying that it could be a toxic relationship you in that's putting you into that into that mode. So let's talk more about it.
So a little background about me. So I grew up in rural Iowa, and my dad was a Vietnam vet, and he was in and out of mental health treatment a lot when I was a child. And so I struggled with that, and I was diagnosed with depression when I was in third grade. So that is extremely young for most people. But it was being caused by it's called ambiguous loss. When someone in your life who is supposed to be there isn't, they're not dead, but they're just not there. And your mind has a really hard time processing that. And so I grew up battling that, and was it just I was the person in on the outside of all of my friends. Like, no one else kind of understood that. And so it took me a really long time to be okay with talking about it with people. But the more I talk about it, the more I find people are like, oh yeah, I've battled that, or I've had, spouts of that where I have a hard time with things. And the more I talk about it, the more it's easier for me, and the more it seems easier for people around me as well. And so, when I got to college, I had a very kind of interesting connection with my mom. So I would talk to her almost every day. I was very close with her, but my mom also battles a lot of mental health issues. And I was finding that when I would talk to her approximately an hour each day, at the end of the phone call, I would be so mentally drained, and my day just seemed to go rougher after that, just because of the conversations I was having with my mother. And so it kind of forced me to look at where do I want my mental health to go, and what's standing in that way. And ultimately, after college, I made the hard decision to stop talking to my mom. I don't converse with her at all. I don't see her. And there's lots of other issues going on there. But ultimately, it was a toxic relationship, and it was making my mental health worse by staying connected with her. And I don't recommend this for everyone. Goodness, no. Like, if you can work it out with a family member, like, do that. But in my personal situation, it was better for my mental health to step away from her. And actually, my brother and sister-in-law have looked at doing the same thing. They have chunks of time where they are no longer connected with my mom either, just because she affects our mental health so much because of her mental health. And so we really had to just draw that line in the sand and say, nope, for my sanity, I can't converse with her. I can't visit her. I can't. So she's been removed from my life for about 10 years now, and it's made a crazy amount of difference. Like, I'm more connected with the rest of my family. I have a better handle on my mental health. My outlook on life is different. It's no longer like super negative. She was very, very draining in that everyone was out to get her, and this is what's going wrong here, and this is what's going wrong there. And then I started also doing that same thing. And when you have that negativity built up inside of you, it just, you carry it with you, and you can't let things go, and everything's going wrong. And it really is, it's that glass half full or glass half empty kind of perspective. And when you switch over to that glass half full perspective, it brightens your world so much. So.
That's so true. That's so true. And I know you're talking about your parent, but and your mother and your father, which, big ups to you. It's hard to separate yourself from your parents and say, I need to step back for a second to help for my mental health as an adult. I know, like you said earlier, that if you can reconcile with them, then that's fantastic. But a lot of times you can't reconcile with them. And a lot of times it isn't just your parents. It could be your significant other, or it could be a friend that you have had for many years who is always bringing you down. I call people like that the virus. And the reason why I call them a virus, well, you know why, because when you as soon as a virus gets inside your body, it infects you. And it affects every single thing in your body. Your body now is trying to fight off things, and only way your body can fight off a virus is by shutting down, and by shutting down. And the only way your brain to fight off people like that is by shutting down and making you sit somewhere and putting you in a deep state. So that's a good kudos to you for having that conversation and doing that. So that's fantastic. So let's say if it may not be a parent. Let's say if I have a friend who is always bringing me down, what things do you think a person should do to
So
help themselves?
with a friend, it's a little bit different than a parent. I'd say a parent is a lot harder, and you should think a lot more about it. With a friend, you take into consideration how long you've been friends, and if this is like just a phase for them, because they may be de dealing with their mental health stuff. And if it is really a phase, I would definitely try to be there. But if it becomes too much, I recommend spacing yourself from them, like putting some room in between, maybe offering to connect them with resources if you know of somebody that can help, or trying to give them positive feedback on whatever they're doing, and trying to help build them up as much as possible, and try to remember that it's not personal. Like, they're not purposely dumping all of their anger and their frustration and their negativity onto you. They're doing it because they don't know how to process their own inner struggles. And so that really, once you've kind of come to grasp that, it really helps that you don't take it personally, and you can really kind of build up that wall. If you're unable to do that, it's possible that you may just need to take some time away from them. And if you're truly friends, if you're really, really actually friends, say to them, I need a mental health break. And if they're friends with you, they will understand, and they will support you in that. Unfortunately, sometimes people don't understand that and won't take that positively, and then you just have to weigh, okay, is my mental health worth more than our friendship, or is it something that I can handle for a little bit longer? There's lots of internal struggles that you have to kind of look at to see what's the best route to go. So.
Okay. So that's, I've got, like I said, this is a fantastic topic. I had a friend who And he was a really good friend at the time. And it just seems like everything on earth was bringing him down. And I'm an upbeat person. I was trying to talk and say, hey, well, let's do this. Let's talk about this. Let's do this. And then one day I just said, well, maybe you just might need some help. Maybe go and sit down and talk to someone who can walk you through, different, walk you through what you need to do to make yourself happy. Because right now you're not happy. And the good thing is that he did go and get some help, because he wasn't happy. He was not happy. He and I talk probably once or twice a year. But the good thing about it is that he did listen and he did get help because he realized that if it was affecting his friends around him, then there was something wrong. And I just want people to realize that if what whoever you are, male, female, if you have an issues that you really can't deal with yourself, just go and get some sort of mental health issues, mental health. A lot of insurance companies do cover it. And pretty much all insurance companies cover mental health, actually. You just go in and sit down and just have some sort of conversation. You don't have to be medicated. Sometimes you just need to get stuff off your chest,
For sure. And you can actually, if you're unsure of where to go, I recommend going to your regular doctor, and they have the ability to prescribe you medication, and then they also have the ability to refer you to someone. And so between those two things, they're a great starting point if you're unsure of where to go. That's what I ended up doing. I had a long-term relationship quite a few years ago, and it ended really, really badly. And that was the point that I decided that I personally needed to be medicated. And so I went in and talked to my doctor, and she got me started on regular medication. Zoloft is what I take, and it's been life-changing. And I think people look so negatively at medication, and sometimes that's exactly what you need. Like, I 100% am one who, if there's something that needs to change in your life, look at it. If it's something that you can easily change, like diet, exercise, people you're hanging out with, is obviously a little bit harder to change, but that is something that you can look at doing. And then if you've done all of those things and you're still struggling, medication might be the way to go. And now, honestly, that I've been on it for several years, I don't think I will ever not be on it. It has been life-changing for me.
Well, and that's good, and that definitely works for you. It really does work for you. Meditation works for me. Staying away from people works for me even more. Especially, it's the thing is that now that I'm older, I can identify the people that put me into that state. It's the way I'm like, I don't like being around you. If you ever walk into a room and you get that feeling like, oh God, I really don't want to be here. All this person's gonna do is nag and blah 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 blah. You know what? Maybe you might need to pull yourself away from them. Some days I can be that person. And I'll know when I'm that person too, because I'll be like, man, I've just been complaining all day about everything. Maybe I just need to take a step back, But we go ahead.
It's one of those things that it really, you got to identify what's causing it. When you personally are feeling frustrated, you got to sit down and think, okay, what's causing this? Is it something I'm doing? Is it something that is in my environment that's causing it? And once you identify what it is, work at changing it. And that's all you can really do. And at the end of the day, it's important to remember that it's okay to not be okay. And I think people get really, really hard on themselves when they personally are going through this, and they think, well, I should be better. I should be, shouldn't be going through this. My mind's broken and all of these things. And it's okay to not be okay.
That is true, and that is true, and it's okay to go and seek help to fix it as well. It's okay. You don't need to be ashamed. It was back in the years ago on television. Oh my God, they said, oh my God, she's going to the shrink. She needs a shrink. And then on television, all they were showing people was people who had true fake issues going to the shrink. going to it, and they call them the shrink. Oh, you're just going to shrink my brain. And no, that's not what psychiatrists do. That's not their job. Their job is actually to help you through mental crisis and to bring you to a stable position as to where you can function in everyday life. You know, I'm not going to say be normal because there's no such thing as a normal person. Everybody has their own way of living in life. So it's just to bring you to become a functional person in every single day life. And that's what their job is. You know, their job isn't to shrink you. Their job isn't to overly medicate you. You know, if they give you a prescription and your prescription is too much, you just go back to them and tell them, hey, you know what? Can you adjust my dose? And they will adjust it for you, for your sake, because, you know, it's all about you and it's all about helping you and your mental stability.
Exactly. And you know, honestly, so I got on this path of really hardcore thinking about what's causing things and what is the reason behind my feelings. And I discovered a podcast and it's called Terrible, Thanks for Asking. And it was really kind of mind-boggling when I heard it. It was a woman who was dealing with a lot of grief and who was like her father died, her husband died, and she had a baby all in like 6 weeks. So like it was crazy amounts of like she should be happy, she should be sad, and it's really okay to have those feelings at the same time too. So I think people,
She was on a roller
yeah,
coaster ride.
she, I think people struggle with that too, where they're like, oh, they've, you know, lost their job or someone's died because of COVID and they feel like they can't be happy in that time because they're supposed to be feeling sad. And I think it's important that we recognize that our feelings can coexist. Like you don't just feel one feeling at one time. You feel, you know, multiple feelings, and it's okay for them to be at the same table. And I think that's super important to realize.
Yeah, that is true. Hey, Andrea, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back,
Sounds
okay?
good.
Hello, Andrea. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Thanks.
So you were talking about we were talking about mental health. By the way, guys, this is the adulting hour. This is when we talk about things that we wish we would have known coming up into adulthood. And today, Andrea is talking about mental health and knowing when to remove a toxic person out of your life so that you can have a better mental health life.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so Andrea, now we talked about your parents and how you removed them from your life, and then you also had a friend that you removed from your life as well too.
I
Good.
did. Yeah, it was a tough decision, but ultimately, I realized that for my happiness, which is, you know, primary, like it's your number one goal, maybe number two if you have kids. But other than that, really, it should be your number one goal is your own happiness and your own mental health. Everything else is secondary because if you aren't in the right mental state, everything else doesn't work. Everything else will feel like it's a struggle and it falls into place better when your mental health is on point.
That is so true. You know, we need to make sure that we take care of our mental health. You know, are your and what people don't understand, well, I'm not going to say that. People probably do know that your mental health also affects your physical health as well. You know, it does affect your physical health as well. You know, you can be sluggish, exhausted, tired. Some people, you know, when they get stressed, they overeat. You know, a lot of different things that you know, your mental health will affect you, especially when you're around some toxic people. And I'm not just saying everyone's toxic. You know, a lot of people do think that their best friends are people who they can pour all these problems and issues into. And I mean, people talking to your best friend is fantastic, but a lot of times they're just like always pouring your issues into me. And now I'm thinking on your issues. And now I'm thinking about it. Now it's bothering me. What was now bothering you and you got off your chest to talk to me about, now it's bothering me. Now I'm up and can't sleep at night, or thinking about trying to fix your situation.
There's a training that I went through probably about 6 years ago, 7 years ago now, for work, and it was called Top 20, and it's a thought process for your state of mind, and how, like, if you're in the top 20, you're thinking positively, your things are going well for you, and if you're in the bottom 80, you're thinking negatively. And there is a portion in there where it's called "Don't dump in my pond" or "Don't dump in my lake," and it's that unloading all of your feelings and all of your frustrations onto another person is like dumping toxic waste into their lake. And so it's that idea of, you shouldn't keep it bottled up, but you need to be mindful of who you're dumping it on and how it's affecting them. And that, think of therapists as, chemical treatment plants where it's safe for you to dump that there. And, a nice little pond is your friend, and you dump all of your waste into their pond, and it really, really pollutes it. So I thought that was a really great way of explaining that dumping that happens.
Yeah, and that's true. It does. People do dump a lot of their ish in your pond or in your lake. And then all of a sudden you get ish floating around in your lake. You're like, oh, I don't even want to swim in that lake myself. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
So
exactly.
you have to be able to kind of cut people off sometimes and say, not today, boo-boo, not today. Because if you don't, then you'll be bringing yourself down too. Now, I'm not saying don't say not today, every day, because people need someone to talk to, period. But some days may not be the right day. You may have your own ish just floating around in the top of your pond, and you're like, man, I'm trying to scoop this out so I can go on with my day, and I don't need you to put more on top of it. And then now I got to scoop yours out and myself out. I'm just exhausted right now. I'm just gonna give up. I'm gonna lay down on it. That's what you say, and that's what you said earlier. You gotta say, hey, I need this mental day. I need to take a mental break and let.
And it's one thing that I think is becoming more normalized now, which it should have been normalized a long time ago, is taking a mental health day for work. Some days you just are overwhelmed, you've got a lot going on, and sometimes you just need to, remove yourself from whatever's happening and take a day for you. And that's what sick days are for. I think people are always thinking, oh, sick days are for when I have the flu or I have a cold or, my kids are sick. Every once in a while, it's okay for you to take a sick day and repair your mental health, whether that be going for a walk, going out and getting lunch, going and getting a pedicure, going and, going to a museum, just having a day for you. Could be sitting on the couch and watching a whole day of Netflix if that's really what you need for your mental health. You have the ability to do that. That is what those days are for. And I think really employers are really grasping that more. They're really coming to understand that when people need a mental health day, if they get to take that, they are happier at work, they're more productive, things go better, rather than just ignoring their mental health and then, they have to take a week off because they can't function anymore. So that's super important to remember.
It is important. It is important. I think that employers should add a day known as the Sprewell Day. If you know who Latrell Sprewell is, he was that basketball player that choked his coach in the middle of the floor. So before we get to that point, I need to take the Sprewell Day because I might choke you today. So I think that then we should add that into it too. Like, hey, today is a Sprewell Day, and when you say that, your boss should be like, "Yep, all right, you can go right now. I'll see you tomorrow." And now, are we good? Are we good? Are you sure that we good? Seriously, because it do get like that sometimes at work, and it's not just with your friends. I mean, work can stress you out so much as to
Yes.
where you all in your head, you're like, man, how am I gonna choke him today and get away with it and not get fired? When you start thinking about that, you're like, oh, hey, I need to take the rest of the day off. All right.
Right. And I have really great coworkers right now, which is amazing. I don't think I've ever had this great of coworkers. But there were a scanner was causing me so much frustration that literally I was so glad that my boss was like, yeah, we'll order you a new scanner, because I was about to have an office moment where I just like completely destroy this scanner because it just wouldn't work. And so it, not only people can cause that much frustration, things can cause that much frustration if they're not working correctly. So another thing is a lot of employers carry what's called EAP. It's an employee assistance program, and in that you are often allowed to have like two conversations with a mental health professional per topic or per basis. So like if there's stuff going on in your life, you can call that EAP number and get connected with someone and chat with them about it. And it, like I said, it's per basis. So like if, say, you're having struggles with a specific person at work, so that could take two appointments to utilize those and talk about what's going on. And then you can have another two appointments for your significant other and another two appointments for something going on with your child. And so those are free of charge usually through an EAP program. So if you don't know if your employer has an EAP program, I would definitely check with HR, because a lot of businesses carry that.
That's fantastic. This is the first time I've ever heard of the EAP program where you can get to go and talk to a mental health professional about your issues. Normally, when I'm having a problem at work, I get and go and I talk to that person directly and get and let them know, hey, look here, not today. This ain't happening today. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't work. Luckily, I haven't been terminated for it, but that's because I'm more of an outspoken person, and when things do happen, I immediately my one of my things is immediate actions get immediate results. So the minute that it happens, I'll tell you, opposed to waiting until I get super upset, and then nothing works after that. There's no conversation that you can tell me that I'll listen to after that.
And so I am more of an emotional reaction type of person, and so I can't respond immediately. Otherwise, I'll respond not inappropriately, but there will be more emotion in it than intelligence or thought. And so I found it best to wait like 30 minutes and then respond to something. I'll respond to it same day, but I definitely need to wait to cool down a little bit, because if something frustrates me, I like my knee-jerk reaction is just to respond or reply back to that email with just something that is not kind and not friendly. And I have to take a moment and think, okay, we're communicating via email. Is this really what she's trying to say to me, or he's trying to say to me? Is it, because there is no emotional interaction, it's just words. Like, is that coming off more negative or than it should? That kind of thing. So like there's so many things that you have to watch, especially nowadays when we're communicating so much by email and text message, that it's difficult. It really is.
Yeah, that is true. And that's true. But I am a person of the old school. I know I say that and make it sound like I'm so old, but I'm not. But if I had in the beginning, I had a lot of emails in my inbox that was in all caps and red. But they still sitting there. They still in my sent box because they still sitting there because I never sent them. But if I had sent them, all hell would have broken loose. I tell you what. But so what I start, you know, what I started doing years ago, years ago, I just started calling people and I said, I know you sent this email, but explain to me what do you mean so that we can clear this up right now because we can keep typing back and forth and all we're gonna do is ruin the numbers on our keys. So let's get this out the way right now. And I say 100% of the people actually say, okay, this is this and this is that. Oh, well, let's clear this up. Let me explain to you why I did this or why you did this or why this happened. And a lot of times sometimes it's just a misunderstanding, like you saying, via text message or via email that they got from you that they didn't get clear. So when you and plus when you speak me personally, I deal better when I speak to somebody and I can hear tone, and the energy in their voice. And I know what if I offended them or if I didn't offend them or the seriousness of the matter at hand in which we are dealing with at the time. And that works best for me. And I tell all my people, you, as well as everyone else sitting inside an office behind a desk, emailing and texting. Look, pick up the phone and call. It's okay. A phone call is actually a faster result than a text message or email because then you got to pick up your phone, you got to open up your email, open up your text, scroll down, see who sent it to you. Then you got to respond. Once you call someone, you get that immediate reaction and say, "Oh, okay, I get it now." Which to me is easier. I know in some places they just want to respond via email and text message. But we got mouths for a reason, and voices come out of our mouths, and things that be said, and you can hear the person's energy, and you can actually fix stuff faster when you communicate that way opposed to email and text messaging. But that's just my own public service announcement.
That's your soapbox moment.
That's me right
Yeah.
there.
So, and another part of mental health with that is that I have tried my hardest to assume that when someone does something, they're doing it with the best of intentions. And assuming that until it's proven otherwise has really helped me be less of a negative person because I try to put myself in their shoes when they're sending that email, what they're trying to come across saying. And that has really helped me to stop being so negative in my response. And it has helped me become less emotional in responses. And then I'm able to connect with them and say, hey, what do you mean by this? What's going on here? And then they're able to explain it. And 9 times out of 10, they were sending it with the best of intentions, or they were doing whatever with the best of intentions. They weren't doing it specifically to cause me frustration or harm or annoyance or anything of that nature. And so that thought process has helped me immensely.
No, that's good. That's good. So, Andrea, we didn't really talk about you and what do you do. Andrea, who are you and what do you do?
So, I currently work for an agency, a county agency here in Scott County, and I help with home ownership and foreclosure avoidance and lots of different things. I have a master's in public administration from St. Cloud State. And so that's really led me on the path of working for nonprofit and government organizations. And then when I have free time, even when I don't have free time, it seems like I'm working on this organization. I sit on, it's not quite a board yet. We're working on getting our 501c3, our paperwork's getting submitted. Actually, this last week it was submitted to the state, and then we'll file with the IRS, but it's called the Leadership Collective. And we are an organization that it's kind of like a we work with a sober house, and we provide resources to women who are coming out of incarceration, who are coming off of the streets from being homeless, or who are overcoming addiction. And so we provide peer support specialists that help them fill out insurance paperwork, that helps them get connected with resources. We provide them food. We provide them, additional resources like clothing. If they don't have any clothing, we seek out donations or go purchase clothing and lots of different resources. Our main thing, our executive director is her name's Tanya Hanzi, and she is an incarceration survivor. And being that I live in Shakopee, we have the women's prison right here in town, and it really got me thinking about how those women are treated, and then what happens with their children, and how their children really how they suffer through this incarceration. And the more I got to digging, the more I realized that a large number of the women in Shakopee are actually there for drug-related offenses. They're not there because they were violent criminals. They, were using or selling, and a lot of the addiction comes with trauma. They've been through something traumatic, and that has led them down the path of using drugs to cope with that. And again, mental health is super important in that. And so that's where I kind of got started through this process, and I connected with Tanya, and we've been working a lot. We have a house in St. Paul that we are working to get up and running to have women come from incarceration once they're released, almost like a halfway house, but more services. Right now, primary services that are available for incarceration survivors are for men. The majority of incarceration survivors are men currently in the state of Minnesota, but women coming out of incarceration has grown immensely within the last few decades, and the resources that they need are different than the resources that are available for the men. And so we've been working quite a bit to change those resources or get additional resources for those women. A lot of women are the primary caregivers, and so we're working on a couple bills for primary caregiving, having them, be in community-related housing rather than being sent to prison if they have children, so they can still stay connected. Because in the state of Minnesota, we have the state prison in Shakopee and the federal prison in Waseca, and those are the only two, prisons for women. And so you've got these individuals who are north up on the Iron Range or towards Bemidji, and that's how many hours to drive down here to visit with their kids. Like, it doesn't work for families. So we've been
Yeah, that's
trying
true.
to look at different ways to handle that, and really get laws and corrections handles things updated. So that's what
I do know that there's an
I
organization that helps children go see their parents. They bus kids up to see their parents. I'm not sure what the name of that organization is, but I'm quite certain people can Google it and find it. So, Andrea, if I wanted to donate, or someone wanted to donate or be part of your organization, what how would they get in
Yeah, so
contact
they can email
with you
me
guys?
directly. I am primarily the development contact for the organization. So I work on the grants and different development related, asking for donations, processing donations. So they can email development@werisemn.org. So we recently went through a name change. We were the We Rise Leadership Collective, and so we've updated our name, and we've switched over to the Leadership Collective. So our email is still on our old name, but development@werisemn.org is how you get a hold of me.
That is fantastic work you ladies doing. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who listened today at the Adulting Hour. You can, if you want to donate or support the Adulting Hour, it's only 99 cent a month. Also, if you really like the content that you hear, it's $4.99 a month. And if you think that we are fantastic and we're doing such a great job, you can do a $9.99 a month. Andrea, Thank you so
Thank
much for
yeah, thank
joining
you
me
for
today,
having me.
okay?
I
Thank
really
you.
enjoyed this. You
You
too.
have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Adulting Hour. Please show your support with a monthly donation of only 99 cents. If you have something you want to talk about, please leave a message and I'll contact you. And maybe we can do it on the show. Thank you so much.